welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Dancing Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, let's look back to Rockbridge last week. You know, a gutty effort for a lot of reasons, 20-10 victory. I thought, you know, it was another game that y'all proved something, that you can play as a team.
Yeah, and I thought defense just played outstanding all night long. You know, putting pressure on their quarterback and stopping the run, giving our offense continued opportunities. And, you know, once Sam went down, you know, bringing in a largely untested sophomore quarterback to run an offense that he didn't have a tremendous amount of reps in throughout the week, you know, we kind of had to make a quick change and change a few things we were doing offensively. But I thought Austin came in and did a good job, the offensive line. And, of course, Mason French, we put a load on him, and he rushed for 138 yards and really helped us move the chains and get in the end zone and seal that victory. And it really was a hard-fought defensive struggle, no doubt about that. And I think, you know, when I've said this before, you know, I think both defenses were very good. I just think ours played much better that night.
Yeah, an update on quarterback Sam Wyrick.
Well, he went to Columbia Orthopedic, and they confirmed it was a torn ACL, and he is going to have surgery on October 12th.
Okay.
So, you know, our hope, because he is an All-State baseball player, our hope is, you know, 5-6 month recovery, and he'll get most of his baseball season, and, you know, hopefully, you know, he's signed with Warrensburg to play college baseball, and that, you know, he'll get healthy and have a great career there, which I know he will.
All right, tonight, homecoming. Capital City, you know, a city rival, so you kind of playing for a lot of things tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, there's really a lot on the line. You know, a conference foe, the first leg of, you know, the city championship series, a team we played really close game with last year, a team that rushes the ball better than any team we've seen so far. You know, there's a lot riding on this tonight. You know, we've had a good week of practice, physical week of practice, you know, not letting homecoming and the distractions of homecoming take our focus elsewhere. I think, you know, we're ready to play.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, there are games, and then there are games. That was a game where, you know, we knew there was a lot of import going into it, and for Elias to be able to get a 20-10 win last week at Rockbridge was huge.
Yeah, it was a game that, you know, Rockbridge beat them last year. That's Hawaii's only conference loss in the 3+ years of the CMAC right mm-hmm. now. So it was a game they kind of had circled, like a chance to come back and maybe get a little revenge and take another step toward winning another conference title. And they played pretty well. You know, I think the focus was good, and, you know, the good stuff. We'll start with the good. The defense played really, really, really well.
Yeah.
I think if you throw out, you know, basically the first half of the Cardinal Ritter game, the first team defense has played great all year. And, you know, I think giving up 6 touchdowns in 5 games.
Yeah.
And 3 of them against Ritter. And so
and this just wasn't any other attack. I mean, this was, you know, this was a team that we knew was coming in with,
yeah,
you know, good quarterback, good receivers, you know, something that could be a problem if you don't play well.
Yeah, you know, we talked last week about, you know, Sam Kaiser, you know, going to Harvard. Well, he didn't play. He suited up and went through warm-ups, and I guess to try to fool somebody, I don't know. But, you know, Brady Davidson is a junior, and he's getting D1 looks, and came out, and they did a pretty good job against him. They didn't get a whole lot of much big plays against Elias at all. And, you know, on a night they needed their defense to play well, it mm-hmm. did, because we're going to talk about why they needed
right.
the defense to play well next.
Well, this becomes an even bigger win from the standpoint of, you know it's a good team, you know you're playing on the road at a good team. Then you also have to overcome adversity, and that's what good teams do. And so I think Elias is a pretty good team, because it doesn't get more adversarial than you having to overcome the fact that you lose your starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, you heard part of my conversation with Chris, and I'm pretty sure that may have been my first question that I really, really stumbled through trying to make that point, which you made better than I did. You know, it was a night of adversity. You know, the third to last play of the first quarter, Ohio's quarterback, Sam Weirich, was scrambling, gained like 3 yards on a run, and then just went down untouched. There wasn't anybody around him 5 yards.
Right.
And I've been around enough, you know, athletic trainers through the years that they say that the worst injuries are the ones that are untouched.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they know something really went wrong.
Sure.
And so everybody, you know, collectively kind of held their breath. And now we found out that it was a torn ACL, which kind of what everybody thought it was.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, Sam's going to have surgery in a couple weeks. They're hoping that the rehab, he's a young kid with strong legs, and they think that's really going to help him, you know, to come back maybe, you know, early to mid-baseball season and be ready to go as a pitcher slash shortstop.
So, again, you have to overcome that adversity, and that then thrusts Austin Weaver into the spotlight. How big is that from the standpoint of maybe not even just for that game, but for what's coming up these next couple games, is to be thrown into a situation maybe where maybe you don't get a chance to overthink it? You're thrust into it, and it's just like, okay, we need you to go, now go.
I mean, he came out, and, you know, like I said, they had the ball in the 20, and where Sam went down. 2 plays later, they're in the end zone, both runs by Austin.
Okay.
So that, you know, that got them ahead. Now, it's good the fact that he didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about Austin for a minute. He's a sophomore. As a freshman, he was a starting JV quarterback, and this year had played, you know, in the first 3 games that had been blowouts at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he has a little experience in the system. But there's a difference between being the JV quarterback and the backup quarterback.
Right.
You're not getting the same reps. You're not getting the same playbook. You're not getting, you know, the intricacies. You're not getting it all. And they really shortened the playbook for him against Rockbridge because, you know, he hadn't had a lot of reps during the week at quarterback. He was a starting receiver.
Okay.
And so he hadn't had a lot of reps at quarterback. So they kind of like, okay, here's what we're going to run. And a lot of it was run-based with him and Mason French, who – I think had his best game he's ever had at Helias. You know, he ran for 138 yards, I think, and they were a lot of tough yards. And I think Rockbridge had to know it was coming with Mason because, you know, Helias didn't show a lot of propensity wanting to throw the ball unless they absolutely had to.
Sure.
So they had to know Mason was coming. And Mason took the hits, got up, kept running, and had a great game.
Yeah. The end result is it gets you, you know, to where you want to be at. You're 4-1 now overall. You're 3-0 in the CMAC, and you're kind of, you know, you're overcoming hurdles, and you've had this prep time of this week because tonight's game against Capital City. Yes, it's a Cap City team that's lost its last two and is kind of struggling a little bit, but it's also a very, very good football team. So the I'm sure the thrust of this week has been, how much of this was just all about getting reps at one particular position just to make sure that position was ready to go, you know, not because you didn't prepare enough?
Well, I mean, it was for probably everybody but Austin, it was probably pretty close to being a normal week of practice.
Okay.
You know, because Capital City presents some unique challenges, especially for your defense. The way they run the ball, their ability to run the ball, the multiple players they have that can run the ball. You know, Helias is, it's not going to be a big secret. I the last 2 years when they played them, they've jumped into a 5-front, you know, 5-3, stack the box, dare them to throw, try to slow down the run game as much as possible. I think me and probably Capital City are both thinking that, well, they're going to do the same thing again because that's just what you're going to do.
Sure.
So I think the defense there, that's that part. Offensively, you know, I think it was a lot of the same stuff. You know, it's just with a different quarterback. Now, for Austin, it was different because he has to get, you know, he's getting fed information through a fire hose right now.
Right.
You know, and they brought him in early. You know, he would go through film study and talk to coaches before school. You know, then he'd go through practice. And when I was out talking to Chris on Wednesday, Austin was on the field after practice running routes, you know, throwing the routes. And so he's going to – they're trying to get him as up to speed as much as they can right now.
Right.
Now, it's not going to be the same. It just isn't.
Sure.
You know, Sam had been in the program as a quarterback for years, and, yeah, he hadn't played a whole lot. But, you know, he was a senior. He'd seen it. He'd studied. He'd been through it, you know. And it's just not going to look the same right now as right. it did before you started the Rockbridge game, or as it will when you get to weeks 8, 9 and into the postseason.
Yeah. I guess if there's a silver lining, not that you want to call it that from the Capital City standpoint, is that you're getting a Capital City team all of a sudden that was, you know, maybe everything was rolling their direction, you know, after 3 weeks. Now after 5 weeks, all of a sudden, you know, they've lost their last two, not to any slouches. They've lost to Rockbridge and Jeff City. And, you know, and it sounds like it might have been Jefferson City's best game of the season. So it's not like they're playing terribly. And it's not like you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, we can slot them in and things will be just fine. It's still going to be a test.
Yeah, I almost would go that Capital City may be hungrier, you know, because, you know, Elias, frankly, the first 2 years they played beat them up. Last year, it was a 24-22 game. Now, the score might be a little closer than the game actually was. But they, you know, you saw what Capital City was growing and what they were doing.
Right.
And so now, I think this has the potential to be a really good game. One thing Chris talked about, you know, after we got done talking about the running backs and the quarterback, he said one thing that really stands out about Capital City is how good they are on the offensive and defensive lines.
Okay.
And he said, he gave credit to whoever coaches them for the Cavaliers, said they've got those kids playing really well, but they're a really cohesive unit. And so, right, Elias is really going to have to be ready for a physical game up front on both sides.
Okay. I would assume that they are going to be ready for that, but is there anything that precludes that?
I mean, I don't think he told me something he hadn't told them.
Exactly. So I assume that's something that they're aware of, and they know that they're going to have to match that physicality. But is there anything, I guess this is the point where maybe we segue a little bit into injury talk and go, besides the injury to the quarterback, obviously, is there any other injuries that would maybe preclude that from being something that they can do on in tonight's game?
No, I don't think there is. I think they're good. I think one thing, you know, they generally run a four-man defensive front and kind of rotate guys, you know, because they have guys that play both offensive and defensive lines.
Okay.
And what they do is they try to keep their offensive line starters out as much as possible and then rotate them through on defense. Well, that's not going to be – if you're playing five instead of four, that rest time's not going to be there.
Right.
So they're going to have to – you know, they may have to go a little deeper – then they want to, maybe on both offense and defense, just to give guys a break, because it's, you know, late September and it's still going to be a bit of a warm day.
Right.
So you just wonder, you know, those kids are really probably going to have to put in a lot of work tonight on both sides of the ball.
Then does it also become a thing where maybe with that rotation, do we see anything differently scheme-wise, or is it still going to be stay with that four-man front, or because...
No, it'll be a five-man.
I think it's going to be a
five-man, three linebackers, stack the box and dare them to throw.
Yeah.
You know, they'll play two corners and generally one safety. And that's something else, too. Austin also started at pre-safety. He was an honorable mention all-conference player last year as a freshman at safety. Well, Elias doesn't like to play their quarterbacks on defense.
Okay.
They really try not to. So I think especially this week, now this week they can probably get away with it, you know, with Austin not playing because they're only going to play one safety anyway. And I think it may be something similar next week against Jeff City. But at some point, you know, they're going to have to fill that safety spot in addition to filling the spot that Austin played at a slot receiver.
Right. So we've got those distractions.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot going on. Yeah,
well, there's a lot going on tonight. Yeah, there'll be a lot that's happening that might be a little bit different than what would be ideally the way you want to do it. And then this is the point where you have to ask the obligatory homecoming question, which and all the stuff that goes along with that. So it is homecoming for the Crusaders, and that's just going to be another thing that you know plays into tonight's game.
You know, and I think Elias has so much going on with everything else. Chris and I really didn't even, you know, I think we kind of talked for like 10 seconds and goes, homecoming, it's a distraction. We're not going to let it be a distraction.
Right.
We've got too much else to be distracted by.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
So, I there's going to obviously be a huge crowd, I would imagine, tonight out at Ray Hitchens Stadium. You know, homecoming plus Capital City, you know, a chance, you know, to make a statement win in town.
Sure.
And I think both sides be well represented. You know, and it is homecoming, and there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that that kind of makes the game go a little longer sometimes.
Yeah. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, how do you see this one playing out tonight?
I don't know. I think, you know, the offense, I don't want to say it's going to take a step back, but it's I think they are really going to kind of the playbook will be shrunk. And I think that, you know, they will throw the ball more than Austin did, you know, in his 3+ quarters last week.
Okay.
They almost have to. But I think those are going to – I don't know that we're going to get a lot of long balls, probably be some short intermediate routes and try to break them there. But I think we're going to get another heavy dose of a run game.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, that will eat up clock. That will kind of keep the score down. I don't think it'll be as high scoring as, you know, a lot of Hawaii's games kind of have turned into over the past few years. I'm going to say Hawaii's 28-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.